Love won't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can do that.
At what cost? You're a good person. Don't do this.
I won't lose you the way I lost my mother. I am becoming more powerful than any Jedi has ever dreamed of. And I'm doing it for you.
I'm sorry.
Anakin, all I want is your love.
Love won't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can do that.
At what cost? You're a good person. Don't do this.
I won't lose you the way I lost my mother. I am becoming more powerful than any Jedi has ever dreamed of. And I'm doing it for you.
I don't believe what I'm hearing. Obi-Wan was right. You've changed.
I don't want to hear any more about Obi-Wan. The Jedi turned against me. Don't you turn against me?
I don't know you anymore. Stop! Stop now! Come back! I love you!
Liar!
No!
You're with him! You brought him here to kill me!
No!
Let her go, Anakin! Let her go!
You turned her against me!
You have done that yourself!
You will not take her from me!
Your anger and your lust for power have already done that. You have allowed this Dark Lord to twist your mind until now you have become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Don't lecture me, Obi-Wan. I see through the lies of the Jedi. I do not fear the dark side as you do. I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire?
I want to apologize once more for the lack of visibility on our projection. We cut off the light just to see if that will enhance any of the showing, but I don't think it really helped that much. That's the reason why we really pray and hope that we will install a better equipment that will really suit this sanctuary, just to provide a richer experience in our sermon. I want to thank everyone and welcome everyone for coming and joining us in worship today. I want to welcome all the college and young adults who are returning. Welcome back, and we will have a lunch prepared after this worship service just to get to know each other. So if you are willing to come, you are welcome, and I hope that you will be able to reconnect with each other. And also we connect with God. Thank you for the Perils who had provided that lunch as well. I also want to welcome Lucy and Bruce after the memorial service of Mary and AG. Thank you very much, and may the peace of God continue to be with your family. Let us continue to keep those who lost their loved ones in this time of the season in your prayers. And may the peace of God continue to be with us. Before we start our worship service, let's start with greeting each other, because today is where we share the love of Jesus Christ and celebrate the reason why he is here. So as you say hi to one another, let's greet them by saying, may the force be with you. May the love of God be with you. May the love of God be with you. May the love of God be with you. The presence of the Force is truly strong in this place. thank you very much. And I just wanted to thank everyone for just holding all the spoilers of Star Wars 7. I want to share this picture of our 27 youth and adults who came and joined us at our Star Wars movie yesterday at Blacksburg Frank Theater. I just got to know that they have a deal of a group discount if you have more than 50 people. First, I thought that that will never happen, but after we get 27, maybe next time when the Star Wars 8 comes out, we might get a 50 ticket discount to have everybody join in this time of fellowship. There is a spoiler alert that I'm going to have a very minor spoiler during our sermon as well. But the reason why we do Star Wars, I just wanted to remind ourselves why this is such a big deal. Like I said in the beginning of our sermon series, religion and the word supposed to be the foundation of our worldview. But what happened during the time of media came in, the media took over. And actually, the reason why we're highlighting Star Wars is because Star Wars is actually the beginning of where the media and movie started to take over the worldview. And what I'm doing is I'm reclaiming back that tradition. I'm reclaiming back that we should come and see our worldview and understand our worldview from the word, not the media. But since the media is already doing a pretty good job, why not use some of their content to reaffirm what the word is saying? So today, we are talking about the love of Jesus Christ that comes into our lives as we prepare our hearts for Advent. Advent is a fourth Sunday that we come together where we share the hope and the joy and the peace and also the love of Jesus Christ as if we are making and building a house for God to dwell in us. Already God has been with you, and there's a lot of people who has experienced that God and who has been walking faithfully with that God. But at the same time, we ask for us to refocus, because there might have been some busyness that happened in our lives, some events that happened in our lives that strayed us away from God. And not only for the believers, but also for the non-believers, we use this time that they will rejoice and be rekindled by this message of hope, joy, peace, and love. And today we are entering our fourth week and final preparation of Advent. But I do want to talk about love. We are all loved, and we all want to be loved. And love is something that is so essential in our life. We are striving and desiring for that love. But as I start to experience love, I got to learn that there are two different categories of love. First one is that there is a desire in every person to fill up their tank of love. You need to fill this tank up. It is empty. And people try, and because of the emptiness and because of the void that they have, their life is not complete. That's why people try to fill it up with all these other stuff, all the materialistic gathering, all the things that they think that will bring happiness into their lives. But they soon realize that there is this hole in the bottom that keeps on draining it down until we receive God's love and mend that hole and seeing how God overflows that love in our lives. There's another part of love, which is not only the my personal point of view of receiving that love. There's a love that we share. We do have a desire to share that love. We do have that desire to share the good things around the world. But as I experience life and as I encounter many, many people, I do see that if our love tank is not filled up, it is hard for us to continue on sharing this love with others. There might be some people who feel like this is a good thing, so I will contribute and I'll help out. But the thing is, they will all soon reach this ceiling that they cannot overcome, because they know that only a person who is filled up with this love can share. So these two are not something that are interchangeable. It is something that happens before as a prerequisite for us to fill our tanks up with love, and to share with others. But the condition is filling it up with God's love. If we don't fill it up with God's love, what happens is we start filling it up with our own desire to be loved. We start loving others because we want to be more loved. We start doing others because we want them to come and fill our tank up. But what happens in that time, if we go out in those own material love and desire, we end up seeing that the desire to be loved actually becomes evil. Not because it is a selfish thing to do. It's because we will never be filled up with the worldly stuff. And our desire of seeing that void in our lives leads us to the dark side. The video that we saw in the beginning of the sermon was a story about Anakin. Anakin is the main character in the Star Wars movie. And Anakin has this issue with his mother because he had to leave his mother, who actually bore him without a father mysteriously, which is another plot that we talk about, of him being the Messiah of the balance of the Force. But he is leaving his mother, and after he comes back, when he has the power to save her from the slavery that she is in, what happens? She is brutally killed by the Sand People. And out of rage and out of revenge, he starts killing all these Sand People. And what he has, he sees that the void that he had of not having that motherly love is actually heightened by the revenge that he had performed with the Sand People. And with that, he carries it on to meet and love this lady called Padme, who he ends up marrying. But in his vision, he sees that Padme is suffering and is about to die. And what of a person who will not do anything in order to save their loved ones? So Anakin starts searching for ways and searching for ways how he can prevent this vision that he has. And then he encounters the Sith Lords who seduce him, saying that, "Come to the dark side, and I will show you a way to cure and change your future." And he's seduced by the dark side. But what is so tragic is, as we have saw, what we have seen from the video clip, the very desire that he was trying to protect his own love actually becomes the reason why his loved one is killed. And probably that's the reason why it is dangerous for us to seek and search from the love that we get from the world. I compare this with a story, Aesop fable, that is called The Fox and the Grapevine. So there is this grapevine which was growing up and is very tall. And this Aesop fable, actually what happens is this fox who's trying to reach it tries and tries to jump, tries all these other stuff, and not able to get the grape. So out of his sarcasm and out of his discomfort, what he says, "That's a sour grape anyways. I'm not going to try anymore." But there's a twist to this story. When you hear in the modern age and in this technology and all this materialism, what we gain is we gain the ability to reach up to the high and reach up to this grapevine. So these foxes are all trying and jumping and going up to get this grape. And there are some who succeed and who are successful of going onto the top of this grapevine with all the effort that they poured out. Wouldn't that grape taste good, right? So the fox tastes the grape, but unlike his expectation, the grape is so sour. It is not ripened. It is not sweet. And it is not tasting good at all. But what does this fox say out of his own discontent? "This is the best grape that I ever ate. And he gives that message to all the foxes who are down there trying to reach up onto this tree. And that's the world that we live in. The worldly thing will never fill us up. But we keep on hearing this message that if you reach upon to the top of the tree, you will be filled up. But that is not true at all. That is what the lie that the world seduced us to believe. So I want to share the biblical reason and the biblical meaning of love. The first one is hesed. Hesed is a saying, actually a Hebrew word that comes from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, when God provides and talks about his love, he talks about the love that he has with his people. The covenant, the relationship that God has with God's people as God protects and God leads his people. God loves them, and they are also bound in this covenantal relationship that they're to love God as well. But the love that we know more is a love that is introduced in a different language called the agape love. The agape love is a love that in this definition it says, a love as revealed in Jesus, seen as spiritual and selfless, and a model for humanity. This agape love is the true love that we need to seek. It is not the worldly love that we feel in our lives. This agape love that is projected and realized through Jesus Christ and introduced in the New Testament is the love that we need to fill ourselves in order for us to love others selflessly as a model of humanity. But how are we going to fill our tanks with that love? It goes back to that covenantal relationship that we need to come and face and seek God face to face. We need to have that time that we seek God because we love him. And therefore God says in Proverbs, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. And if we have that desire to seek and search for that love, why search it from some false love? But rather come to the eternal source of love that provides that agape love in our lives. If that agape love fills us up, we will start shining God's glory into this world. As we talk about shining, let me talk about a story. Tell you a story about a man named Moses. A man who you all know because he had performed that 10 plagues and led the Israelites out of the Egyptian oppression. But what happened in the wilderness as he is encountered by God and God asks him to come to Mount Sinai to receive God's covenant love, hesed, this is the story that I want to share with you. It's from Exodus, Numbers chapter 6, and God said, this is what the word says. Moses came down from Mount Sinai as he came down from the mountain with two tables of the covenant in his hand. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. So what happens if you encounter God face to face, if you seek that agape love in God, what will happen is as we encounter God, the love of God will shine through us. And what happened is, Moses, when he came down, everybody was so astonished. Up to a point where Aaron had to do this. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all these leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them a commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. He had to put a mask to cover that glory. And I'm going to share later on that this was a wrong thing to do because Paul says that was not the way that Moses should have done. But in order for him to cover his glory, he had a veil on. And whenever he goes back into the presence of the Lord, he takes it back up. And whenever he comes back to the people, he put it back down. And that was what Moses does. But I want to talk about another person that we normally see in our world and also that we see from Star Wars, another person who takes and puts up a mask. And that is Darth Vader. He puts up a mask because of the consequences that he had done and he had to suffer by desiring that love, that worldly love. He wanted to prevent that love of losing that love, and as a result, he is illy damaged. And in order for him to survive, he puts on a mask because his inner being has been utterly damaged. And probably because of that, he goes on to destroy the galaxy, which might have prevented him to fulfill his love. And this is my spoiler. There's another character in Star Wars 7. His name is Kylo Ren. And he does the same thing. He puts on a mask that covers his inner being, but this one is more of the fear. This one is more of the insecurity. This one is more of him being afraid that he cannot fulfill Darth Vader's purpose. And when this fear and frightening insecurity hits him, he tends to put this mask on to cover up his insecurity. That's when Master Yoda actually said, fear is what will lead you to the dark side. Fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. But if you remember in the Bible, in Romans chapter 5, actually we say it in a different way. Perseverance leads to suffering, and suffering leads to hope. So for us putting on that mask, it is doing something that is totally countercultural what Moses was doing. And the mask that we all also tend to put on is a mask of fear, to cover up our fear. But we need to remember what God said from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. And what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we all have that desire to take off our mask, to experience the true love. And there is a scene that I want to share with you of the last part of Star Wars.
Mask off.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Thank you. You're coming with me. I'll not leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have, Luke. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister. You were right.
Father. I won't leave you.
So even with Darth Vader, he had his uttermost desire to take off this mask. And I believe that we have the same desire as well as we live in this world. We want to take off this mask that hides all our insecurity and fear. And we know that we can't do it by ourselves. And we know that we can't save ourselves. That is the reason why God had sent his son Jesus Christ into this world to take away that mask from us, to take away that veil from us that covers us, that blocks us in the relationship and the hesed love of God. So his agape love came and tore it apart. Literally, when Jesus had died on the cross, the moment that he died, there was darkness upon the world, and there was a big earthquake that happened that tore the veil in the temple that was blocking of the holies of holies and the holy from the people of God. And now through Jesus Christ, as that mask is taken away, we are able to see God face to face. And through Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to be filled with that agape love in order for us to love others. But Moses, in this perfect love, even though we had that perfect love that casts away all the fear, Moses was keep on putting this veil down. And that is why Paul had said, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. And therefore, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, which ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And what happens? The veil is taken away, and we are healed and transformed into the glory of God. Amen. 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 That's right. We are transformed into that image. Our hurt, our insecurity, our fear are all transformed. But why do we keep on putting that mask on? When God wants to see you face to face and fill up that love tank of agape love. Have you ever considered Christmas as a time where we take off our veils and stand in the glory of God, remembering how the love of Christ takes away that veil? How that love fills our lives up. How that love had overflowed in our life. How that love continues to flow into this world. And if as Christians, We consider Christmas only as a holiday to get together with our own loved ones. How can we say that we are living for that purpose of facing God face to face? That is why my prayer for this Christmas for all of you is that not only that you have a Merry Christmas, but also I pray that you will seek unto the face of God and see how His face shines upon us, that His face heals us and restores us. For the believers who are here committing to live as a disciple of God, I pray that this will be something that renews us. But also for ones who do not know Christ yet, I pray that through any kind of encounter that they will see the love of Christ that takes away that veil that transforms their lives. So, for us preparing our Christmas events, we don't do it because it is in the sake of event. We believe that the worship is the best time for people to encounter God. It's not about what we prepare. It's not about how lovely and adorably our children prepare the pageant. It's not about how, I'm sorry, Deborah, but it's not about how great our music becomes. It's more about that time of inviting people into the presence of God so they will see how the veil tears away. And they see the shining light of God, the face of God restoring their lives. And I pray that at least one soul encounters that love of God through this Christmas time. And I pray that our members who are already committed have their veil torn away forever so they will be restored and they will be able to reflect the love of God into this world. And that is the prayer of this Christmas. Now, some of you might have wondered, why? What is this with Thessalonians chapter 3? I had to ask the same question. What is this? But I want to highlight 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. And may He, God, so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This hesed love that I was talking about, the agape that tears away our veil, the hesed that we remain in the covenant of our Lord, may it strengthen and bold, make us bold so we will be able to go out and share this love with everyone surrounding us. It is not only the love of God that prevails, it is the love of God that transforms in through us and spreads out onto this world. So may you become that agent of God, and may your lives be filled with that agape love so you will be able to share it with the world. May our Lord tear the veils of our life and remind us of the true meaning of Christ coming into this world so we will be able to share that love with others and everyone surrounding us. Merry Christmas. Let us all